I've never spoken before, so. But I was just praying about it and just asking God what he would have me say today, what he would put on my heart. And I'm going to start with 1 Thessalonians 4:13. It says, "Grieve not as those who have no hope." And Christopher was the one that introduced me to that hope. I am a fairly new Christian. It's been about almost 5 years. We started dating, and he introduced me to the Lord, and he had me read some of his dad's books, and I prayed the prayer and accepted Jesus into my heart and never regretted it. That was awesome. And we got married, and we had a really great marriage. We were super close. We did everything together. I think we spent every day together from the time we met. We didn't have a day apart. So, but we had a really good marriage with the Lord, too. We were doing a Bible study in our house, and we went to marriage retreats and couples conferences, and we were just in love, you know? And we had Stella. But, you know, your love for your husband's different. I never expected his sudden death, you know. I was worried about my kids. I worried about, you know, loved ones. But he was strong, you know. He was my husband. I never in a million years thought, you know, I didn't worry about him. But, so, you know, it was a huge shock for me, and for me, I clung to the Lord. I just relied on all the promises that I've been given from the Lord. I'm going to share a few scriptures with you. Deuteronomy 3:18 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." So I know the Lord promises to just carry me through everything. You know, anything that I'm dealing with, the Lord will be there. Somebody mentioned that poem, Footsteps, and I love that poem. I'm sure you've heard of it, you know, through the hard times. There was one set of footsteps, and it was because the Lord was carrying the lady on the beach. And another scripture I really like is 2 Corinthians 4:17. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And that just reminds me to look towards heaven, because life here is so short. You know, we can all agree on that. And but I think when we get to heaven, it'll be like, what were we thinking? It was so quick. You know, that's eternal. That's forever. This is so fleeting. So another one is 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." And this just reminds me that the Lord will only give us what we can handle. You know, he knows our hearts better than we do. And he knows that, I know every one of you ladies is so strong out here. And that's, I don't want to say that's a reason that this has happened. But I feel like, you know, he knows that you can handle it. He knows he won't give you anything that you can't bear. So that's a comfort to me. And then the last promise I wrote down, I mean, there's so many. I picked a few. Is Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." And this just reminds me that no matter what we're going through, the Lord's will for us is good. And, you know, I wouldn't wish this on anybody, obviously, not my worst enemy. I wouldn't wish it on them. But I don't see the whole picture yet, but the Lord does. He sees everything. So this is, like I said before, just a small, small part. So for me, what I chose to do immediately was I just started journaling. I wrote down, I mean, I read the Bible all the time. I was doing like 5 Bible studies a week. I just dove into his word, and I wrote down all the scriptures that, I could relate to at any given point. That's where I drew some of these scriptures from. I chose not to be idle. I hung out with my friends. I tried to be surrounded by family and, you know, good Christian friends. And For me, that just really, everybody's different, but for me, I like to keep busy. So I was doing the women's Bible study this fall, and we were studying the life of Paul. And when we were in the book of Philippians, God just really put in my heart, he said that he's in control. And stay focused because he has a plan for us. And Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So it's not my plan, it's God's plan, you know, and he promises to complete it. Whatever he starts, he will complete it. And, you know, me and Christopher had plans. I was pregnant with my second child, Lucy, and in fact, we were planning a birthday party for Stella, like, a few days after. So, you know, we had great earthly plans, but the Lord said, no, I have better plans. So I feel right now, I prayed about it. Like I said, I'm not a speaker, so this is a little bit hard for me, but I felt it was in my heart to come and just say a few things. I feel like I've talked to a few ladies, and when I talk to other widows, I feel like when I'm ministering to them or when I'm just talking with them, I'm telling myself the same. I've heard Greg say it too. I'm ministering to myself, you know. So whatever comfort I can give others, I'm also comforting myself at the same time. And the birth of Lucy was hard. That was probably the hardest thing I've dealt with since Christopher's death. It was bittersweet because it was really hard without him there. I'm sad because, you know, I miss him. I want him to be there for our kids. But I know that he's at peace. And one of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 57. It says, the righteous perish, and no one ponders it in his heart. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lay in death. So I'm upset and I'm sad here, but I know that it will be so much better in heaven. I know that he's at peace. He's with the Lord. You know, I'm upset for our kids here, but he's a child of God in the Lord's presence now. So I can't wait till I'm there also. And I know, you know, our whole family will be there soon, very soon. Because there's no pain in heaven. There's no pain. There's no suffering. Our suffering here is so short. Thank you. So I know what I just wanted to say was that, you know, we just need to trust in the Lord with everything. No matter what we're going through now, what we've been through, you know, we've probably been through more than a lot of people will. But the Lord knows that we're strong. He knows that we can handle it. And we just keep our faith in him, and he'll lead us step by step. We don't have to think about, you know, what's going to happen next week or next month or next year. People have asked me questions about the future, and I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I had my plans, but they were not my plans. The Lord has better plans for us. So I just focus on today, and I focus on the right now, and I know the Lord will lead me through. So that's what I had to say. Thank you for listening.
Blessing. Thank you for sharing. We just know. I just admire Brittany so much. And what I want to share, part of what I wanted to share today, too, is that incredible pain when we lose our husband, there's nothing like it. And nobody knows it unless they've been through it. But God already suffered, and I kind of felt like I got to enter into just that much of his suffering. But when you reach out and you minister to somebody else, that's healing for you and for me. And I think that's one of the reasons Brittany's so strong. She was at the South Dakota Crusade leading people to the Lord. She's out there Thursday night when Greg is preaching. She's here today. And I know she's been ministering to other widows. And, you know, it's just a remarkable, remarkable thing that Jesus in her just rises up and the people are blessed that get to know her. So thank you, Brittany. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And I know the Lord's going to use you in a mighty way. You know, I wanted to say in my book, we go through stages in widowhood. And in my book, I talk about how the Lord gets us through those different stages. Because today, we have, you women are in different stages of widowhood right now. We have brand new widows, and we have widows like me that have, we'll be celebrating our 18th anniversary this year. And I can tell you God is faithful. He will never fail you, never. And one of the things that I hope to do this morning when we're through here is to have questions and answers. When Bill died, I had so many questions, and there wasn't anything out there at that time. And I just thought, I've never forgotten that. And I thought, boy, you know, like when you're just walking along or talking or even in the house, and all of a sudden you just burst into tears. And I didn't know why I'd be crying. I just cry. And I thought, am I losing it? You know, what's going on? And then nobody told me the second year is harder. And so that was a big blow. And there was so many things that I didn't have the answers to that the Lord in these years ensuing has. There's a lot of books now, and there's a lot of workshops. There's a lot of help. And that's good. And I've been in churches. Harvest is really unique because they've had a widow's ministry, and I know Jeff now wants to build a new one. That's why it's so important that you fill out that questionnaire and hand it in. But most churches don't have anything. And so we said we're like the lost tribe of Israel. You know, oh, do we have widows? Yeah. There's a lot of us. And Harvest, we have a great many. And we're having younger and younger widows. So I know the Lord's going to, he's got a plan. You know, I have a little saying. This is not original with me. I saw ABCs of grief, and I love this. But A, accept that you don't have the whole picture. And you know, we don't. Our husband's gone, and God, what are you doing? We don't have the whole picture. B, believe God does and loves you greatly. And he does. And C, continue on in faith and not by sight. Here we come to the theme of today, choices. You and I have to choose. I can choose to believe that God knows what he's doing in my life. And he does. I can just guarantee you that he does. And I can guarantee you how much he loves you. But that's what we have to do. We have to trust him in this cataclysmic place that we find ourselves. Because when your husband's gone, half of you is gone. And you know, one of the things I missed the most, I didn't have anybody to talk anything over with. Did you notice that? And you know, if you ask your kids, they say, oh, Mom, do whatever you want. Well, that isn't what you want. Do we really need this? Can we afford this? What do you think? You know, and so that was one of the big things that I missed. But I found that the Lord, our heavenly husband, is a wonderful person to talk that over with. And let me tell you, he has all wisdom and foreknowledge, and he knows exactly how to help and what we should do. I'll never forget when my husband died. He died August 91, and Marty Goetz was here ministering in November of 91. And that was just a couple of months later. And Bill died unexpectedly. And so Marty just happens to be my all-time favorite. And anyhow, I was worshiping the Lord, you know, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, rejoice, be glad, embrace God's choice for your life. a wondrous revelation. Give praise, give thanks to my name. And I thought, there's no way this is coming from the Lord, because I didn't feel like rejoicing, and I wasn't glad, and I was in that incredible pain. And so I dismissed it, and I thought, you know, that's not from the Lord. So I just went ahead and worshiped with Marty, and the second time the Lord spoke to me, and he said the exact same words, only that time he just jolted me, and this is from him. And so I grabbed my bulletin, and I wrote it on the bulletin, what the Lord had said. And I kept the bulletin, and I was looking at it because I wanted to bring it today and show you. In 91, we had 9 pastors. Today, we have 20. And there's so many things that are so different, you know, but our life is different. And so I thought, well, there we are. We're evolving. So I didn't say anything to anybody about that, and I went home, and I was alone, and I said, Lord, how do you expect? I can't do this. I just can't do this. Why are you asking this of me? And as sweetly and softly as he could speak, he said, trust me. So again, we had a choice. You know, do I want to trust him? Do I want to believe him? Or do I want to go on in my misery? And so I said, Lord, I trust you for this new life, but you got to do it in me. I can't do it. I cannot do it. And girls, he's so faithful. He will do it. And I know many of you are right there today. Trust him. He does have that new life for you. And you can believe him that he loves you. And he's aware of every single pain that you're going through. And he wants to comfort you. And he will. I think our life is full of choices. That was a hard choice to make, and there's been many others, but we all have that privilege of choosing, don't we? Did the pain leave immediately and this soared, you know, into this new life? No. In fact, that first year, my whole world fell apart. My house, my yard, my car, my life, relationships, everything fell apart that first year. And I thought, what is going on? What is going on here? You know, I couldn't believe it. But you know what the Lord was doing? He had a purpose in every single thing. He was making me so strong in him that when I came through that first year, I was on bedrock in my faith, and my faith was that rock, Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, it has never been shaken since then in all these 18 years. I don't care what's coming down. I know God is in control. I know he loves me. I know this is part of his plan. I know it, and I believe him to turn it to good. I believe him to bring glory to himself out of that. So if you're in that hard place right now, and I know some of you are, you know, you can rejoice, not in the pain, not in the hard place, but in the fact that he has a plan. He has a life for you, and he has a purpose in every trial that he brings into our life. It's not easy. We have to choose to believe him, that he loves us, and that he will carry us, and he does. And that poem, One Set of Footprints, boy, for widows, we've got a lot of those where he's carrying us, because we can't do it. We can't do it. And I would say, don't even try. Let him do it in you. And he wants to do that. There's so many stories, and I go into a lot of those in my book, but we don't have time this morning, because one thing I do want to do is get to the questions and answers afterwards. But I have Isaiah 54:5. Are you girls familiar with that? I love that. The Lord God, your maker, is your husband. And I used that scripture with widows before Bill died. And I always thought it said, let the Lord God, your maker, be. But he doesn't say that. He doesn't give us an option. He said, the Lord God, your maker, is your husband. And so I thought, Lord, you know, I even had the audacity through some of the things that were happening. And I said, Lord, if you're my husband, you've got to help me. If Bill was here, he would take care of this. So you have got to help me. Do you ID with that? And he does, doesn't he? And he does. So I want to encourage you with that. He is our husband. He has all wisdom, all knowledge. He knows exactly how to provide and how to help us and comfort and strengthen us. And I love Ephesians 2:10. I just love the scripture in the Amplified. Do you know that God already has the path that you're to walk on? It's already prepared. And he has already foreordained the good works that he wants to do through you and me. It's already done. So a prayer that I use a lot is, God, don't let my feet get off of your path. I'm prone to wander. I don't know if any of you are, but I am prone to wander. I say, Lord, you just got to keep me on your path. And he'll do it. You know, he knows our heart. And he knows all that we're going to face. And the trials, you know, James says, count it all joy when you fall into many trials. That's hard to do. And it's super hard when your husband's not there. I don't think any of us realized how much strength we gained from our husbands until he was gone. And for you and I, the hard part is the transition from letting go of this earthly husband to hanging on with everything we have, acknowledging, knowing that our heavenly husband is going to meet every need that we have. And I have to share to you, the Lord called me to go to Liberia to speak to the widows there because there were so many. And they have nothing over there. They have absolutely nothing. They didn't have electricity in the whole country when we went. They do now in Monrovia. But I said, Lord, how can I do this? And you know, he said the same thing to me, because the first time he used me for a workshop or a seminar for widows, he woke me up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and he said, I have two things I want you to tell my daughters. How much I love them, and I have a plan for their life. And so when this thing came up about Liberia, the Lord said the same thing. And I have to tell you, and they over there, they came to me, and the war had been over for 4 years. Illiteracy is like 90% there. They came to me, and they said, Dottie, nobody has ever acknowledged us. Well, there was like at the first meeting, 125, and they even had other pastors coming, and they were looking at the door because this pastor had all these women there, and it was the widows. But when I told them what the Lord had said and how much he loved them and he had a plan, they just grab it, and they jumped up, and they started worshiping the Lord. They danced and sang, and so they were dancing all over and singing and praising God. And when they got through that, they came back and sat down, and they just waited for the next. And I thought, you know, I could tell them with a surety God would meet every need they have. And do you know what the main prayer was? Whether it was a mom or a grandmother that was there, in every session I had, the main prayer was they had to have at least $3 a month to send their children to school. And that was their greatest desire, was their children or grandchildren would have schooling so they wouldn't be illiterate. And I know God is meeting that need. I know that. And I know he's going to meet every need for you. I know that. He doesn't do it the way that we would like for him to do it, like, you know, just rain it on down. But he will do it. Not our wants, but our needs. And I have to tell you, he's done the super abundant for me. He didn't in the beginning. There was one test after another. There was trials because he was strengthening me and faith in him. And I know he's doing that with a lot of you. And he'll do it with all of us at one time or another. But you have to know how much he loves you and he cares for you. I put on the armor of God every morning, and when I do, I like to yoke up with him and just say, Lord, use me freely today. The Lord wants to bring glory through you and I for himself, and we don't feel like doing that. So, you know, we have to choose and say, Lord, I just choose for you to continue to heal me and to use me. And, you know, have your spiritual ears open for just a little bit to minister. In the beginning, it's so hard, but the Lord will give you that opportunity. Maybe to say a little prayer for somebody, or maybe write a little card or a phone call. But that's healing. That's healing for you. And the Lord wants to do that. There's so many things that he's done. But take his promises and cling to them. Believe him. In fact, I have something I'm going to share with you today. I don't know if I have enough. I want to share. little booklet. A friend gave me this not too long ago. And when she did, I ordered some immediately for today. But it's God Understands. And on this side, it says the problem, pressure, the Bible says. I love this. And it says anger. I don't want those passed out right now. No, afterwards. That's all right, the ones that are, but later. Okay. Anger and the Bible says. Okay? Just leave it on your acceptance and the Bible says. This is the most wonderful little booklet I have found. To just pick it up and whatever it is you're going through, find that and find what God says. Pray it, believe it, and receive it, and let Him work that in you. It is a wonderful little booklet. And thank God for the tools that He gives us to help. He loves you with an everlasting love, and He has a plan for your life. Do you believe Him? You know, we can know that, but we have to believe it. And there's a difference. It's just grabbing hold of that. Because we can say, well, it's okay for her, but it's not for me. But it's not true. It's for all of us. It's for everyone. God loves all His children. He is not a respecter of persons. He's got a unique, wonderful plan for your life. And we feel like our life is over when our husbands are taken. But they're not. God has that new chapter for us. And He already has it planned. When we hit the hard places in this single life, whether it's finances or health or relationships, I can assure you of His promise in Hebrews 13:5. I love this. I live in it. I walk in it. And I'm going to quote it from the Amplified because it's the literal translation. But He says to you, I will never, no, never, no, never leave you or forsake you. And I just loved it. Brittany shared it from Deuteronomy. But here it is in Hebrews 13:5. See, He's just reaffirming His love for you and how much He wants to do for you. And He is so eager for us to just believe Him and to take His hand and say, Lord, I choose to believe that You have this for me. I choose to believe it. I personally believe that we're in the end days. And I think that the day is far gone. The night is almost here. And I think, girls, that He wants to use you and I in a new and tremendous way for His glory. I like to read about the widows in the New Testament. Do you ever do that? I like to read that, and that Lydia, you know, down there by the riverside. And I just thought, Lord, here we are in Riverside. So, you know, what do You have for us? And a story that I especially like is 1 Kings 17. Or is it Samuel? No, it's 1 Kings 17. And that's a story of the widow of Zarephath. And all of us, I'm sure, are familiar with that. But, you know, God sends Elijah over there to her. And so He says to her, bring me a drink of water. Oh, yes, bring me some bread. And she replies the truth of her circumstances. And she says, I have not a loaf baked, but only a handful of meal in the jar and a little oil in the bottle. Actually, she was expecting she and her son to die because they were in such a famine. And so here this man comes along, and he says, give me some water and some bread. And, you know, it was a test from God for her. She had a choice. And she chose to go ahead, and she calls Him your God. But the Lord was going to save her, and He would become her God. And you and I are going to see the widow of Zarephath when we get to heaven. Anyhow, she went ahead, and she baked the bread, and she obeyed Him. And, of course, we all know the supply never, never relinquished. It was there till the famine was over, and she never suffered one bit. And we also know that God became her God. But, you know, when you read stories like that, don't ever think God doesn't love you every bit as much as He loved that widow of Zarephath. He's got wonderful things He wants to do through you and in your life. And, you know, we need to believe Him for it because we can know it and say, oh, it's okay for her and her and her, but God's not going to do that in my life. Yeah, He wants to. We choose. We come back to that choice. So, you know, when you come across those stories in the Bible, apply them. to yourself and read it and see how much God loves you. He loves you with an unfailing love. He's in control. And when he tells us he's got a plan for our life, he means it. He means it. You know, I can tell you for sure, emphatically, I do not want to control my life. I blow it all the time. And I want God in control. I want him doing what he wants to do through me. And what he wants to do above all is have you know how much he loves you. He's aware of every pain that you have and every need that you have. Again, in my book, I quote how many times the word widow is mentioned in the Bible. And widow is mentioned 49 times. And then there's widows, and there's another word for us. And I give the number on that. He cares. And you know, when you get ripped off, have you been ripped off at all? Mechanic or a household or handyman or something like that? Most of us have. And I can remember a car dealer, won't go into all of it, but I can remember I was so humiliated, ashamed, embarrassed. I could hardly make it out to my car. I burst into tears, and in Joshua, the Lord says, if you mistreat a widow, that your wife is going to be a widow and your children is going to be orphans. In other words, going to kill him, you know. And so I was crying. I said, Lord, I don't want you to kill him, but I said, I do turn him over to you. And so that's what we can rely on, the Lord, for the people that are dishonest in our life. We can turn them over to the Lord and say, Lord, you're my husband. You're going to take care of them. And he will. He will. He longs to do that. He longs for us to believe that he wants to do that. Okay. You know, my prayer for you is let the Lord comfort you. Let him love you. Let him bless you. He wants to bless you. He's not surprised we're widows. We are. And so because of that, we can know he truly does have a plan for our life. And the choices we make determine the life that we will live. We can choose to believe God for his plan for us, or he will let us go on in our own way. He will never violate our free will. He gave us free will. So I love the theme for today, choices. You and I make choices every day, don't we? We make a lot of choices every day. We're choosing all the time. So in my prayers, I just say, God, help me to always choose your way. Because I don't want to miss what he has. And he doesn't want us to miss it either. Okay? He's our beloved heavenly husband. You can go to him with anything. And he wants you to. You know, I go to him with little things. I have to tell you, I can't handle bugs, you know, or insects. And Bill always took care of that. And after he died, you know, if there was a spider in the house, I know this sounds silly, but that's the way I am. And I said, God, I can't kill that. I can't go near that thing. You've got to do this for me. And so, of course, you know, he didn't divinely come down and swat the thing. And so I'm praying, and it was like, gird yourself up, girl, and get whatever you need, you know, and I'm going to help you through this. And so he did, and he did, and I could get rid of those spiders, but it's never been easy for me, but I can do it in his strength. And that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter how little it is, how silly it is, it's never that way with him because he just holds us so tight, and he cares. And I mean huge things. He takes care of the huge things, too. And I can't express the love that I have for him. But I can tell you with everything in me, he will be faithful all the days of your life. You can trust him. And you can believe his promises. And that's what he asks us to do, that we would make that choice. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you're ever faithful. God, I thank you for how much you love us. You care about every detail of our life, every minute of our day. And God, you just want to love us and guide us and take us on. So, Father, I pray for every woman here that she will know and feel your love and just revel, God, in the fact that you have a life for her. It's not over. You have a life for her. And Lord, may she just walk into it full of joy and hope. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the thanks for that. Bless each woman here today. Let her take something of you home with her and let it grow, Lord, and bear fruit. And we all prayed together in the name of Jesus and said, amen. Amen. Okay, now I want to pass out to LaVon and Wanda to pass out these little booklets. You know what? How many have been a widow a year and less? Okay, I want you to have them, and then 2 years and less. Over here to you, LaVon, all of that. Because I don't know how many I'm going to have here. Okay, I think we may have enough. 3, 6, 7. Yeah, we will. Did you get them?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. Did everybody get one of these?
Yeah, Brittany, did you get one? You have one? Okay.
Now, girls, in the time we have, because we have to scoot out of here because they're going to use this room again, but yeah, do you have questions? Are there questions? You don't have any questions? Mm-hmm. Sherry. I was fearful of what?
You're leaving your windows open.
Oh, yeah.
Remember.
I sleep with Mr. Honeywell every night.
But I know fear is a big part.
Yeah, it's a big part. Yes, it is. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And he doesn't want us to live in fear. He is our shield. And I can sleep with my windows open now. Yes. Thank you, Sherry. Eddie, do you have a question? Okay.
I was going to share something as long as theater. My hubby loved to drive. And so one of the things, since I have a little job, I had to get on the freeway every morning. I pray God and make it safe for me to get on the freeway. And you know what? So many times it's just crazy, but there's traffic cleared in around here. And I'm just, you know, it's just a little thing, but.
But he's there. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I ask the Lord to be my shield every time I get in the car.
Well,
yeah, and he does do things like that. He's our protector.
He loved driving.
Yeah.
I don't want to be where I can't be.
No.
It's just that thing that we just...
Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes. Different time plan, and it's okay. You don't have to conform to anybody else's time plan. The Lord's going to deal with you right where you are. And there's so many things. I've had girls come to me and say, Dottie, I have my husband's picture, you know, in a certain place in the home, and am I making an idol of that? And I said, no. Why would you want to forget what he looked like? And my kids would have an absolute fit if I didn't have their dad's picture up. Of course it's okay to have the picture up. But, you know, don't we have a lot of questions, and we go through that, and we just think, is something wrong with me? I know I used to think that. I thought I'm losing it. But then I found out later I was normal, that we all go through this. And I think that we need to realize that, and especially if you minister to one another, somebody's not going to do it the way I did it. Because we're all uniquely different. Anybody else? Yes.
How long was the
What a question. That's so good. Loneliness is probably one of the biggies. Great, huge ones. And Hebrews 13:5, I just love that scripture. He will never, no, never, no, never leave you or forsake you. So, you know, we feel lonely, but he's right there. And so I would be so lonely and crying and the whole enchilada, and I would just say, Lord, manifest yourself to me. Manifest yourself. Because you're right here with me. And sometimes he would, and sometimes it wouldn't be right then, but there would be a phone call or a little note or somebody unexpectedly coming by. He would manifest himself. And that was my prayer going through that. And, you know, another thing that I discovered I never thought of is aloneness, which is totally different from loneliness. And that was the first experience I'd ever had with that. And that was hard to deal with. So I asked the Lord to make himself real to me. And of course, it's been so many years for me. But, girls, I can tell you, boy, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And he will do everything he's promised to do. But I never found a shortcut to get through the pain, to get through the loneliness, and the new things I was learning, the aloneness. It was all a series of things. And that's really, and I'm not pushing my book at all, I don't mean that, but that's in the book, these different things that we go through, because we do go through different stages. And that's definitely one of them. It's one of the hardest. But ask him to manifest himself to you. And then, you know, girls, when you pray that, believe he's going to do it. Mm-hmm. Don't just say words. Believe he's going to do that, because you have no idea how much he loves you. He really does. And he is aware. He is totally aware. And there was something else. Let me bring that back. Anyhow, anybody else?
Yeah.
You know, for me, I never took Bill's name off of our checks. His name is still on there. So I will get mail from William Stevenson. And I know where it's coming from. But, you know, there's certain things we do. And, like, some women can't sleep in the bed where they slept with their husband. Me, I just take his pillow and I just hug it, you know. But we're all different. And it's not wrong. Whichever way we do it, it's not wrong. It's the way that you're handling it. So it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Yes. You know, and our circumstances are all different. I had a ailing mom, and that for the first 3 years after Bill died, and so I really had that incredible pain for that 3 years. It was lesser than it was at first, but it never left me because I never had time to mourn. Then, that's the first thing my son said to me when the Lord took my mom home. He said, "Now, Mom, you can grieve." You know, so that. I got over that terrible pain. And then it was 5 years. And when I hit 5 years, I felt like I've got my life. Because always before, I was still hooked with my husband. And it was our life. But then I had my life. That doesn't mean that it's going to be that way for anybody else. You've all got a time plan. And God has a plan that he's going to work out in your life. And I hope you're all in a church. I hope you're in fellowship. I hope you have a network that you could call, and I hope you've all filled out these questionnaires. Oh, you know what? We have to go. Oh. Wanda and LaVon, will you please stay in the back? Give the girls your questionnaires. Yeah, we're through. We're through. Father, bless these precious women. Okay, am I going to get fired?